How did Superfly first come together?
So we started, my partner and I, Jonathan, started at Tipitina's. He was the booking agent. I was doing marketing there about 15-plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when new owners came in and bought the club, John and I both decided to leave. Really, you know, John decided to leave, and I went with him. And we realized that we, you know, kind of had this entrepreneurial passion for putting on concerts and events, and so we just started doing it on our own, primarily doing events during Mardi Gras Jazz Festival.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first event you guys did?
Yeah, so it was Mardi Gras 97,
mm-hmm.
and it was an event called Take Funk to Heaven. It featured Maceo Parker and George Porter and Rebirth one night, and then the next night was the Meters and Galactic.
Nice. One thing I think is amazing is that you've always done, like, so much to spread the NOLA sound to so many different people.
Yeah, well, New Orleans music is, you know, was hugely inspirational and transformative for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
At the company, and so we've definitely, and one of the things we sort of enjoy the most is turning people on to new music, and so anytime we have the opportunity to sort of expose our audience to, you know, New Orleans music and sort of all the great bands that we love down there and the stuff that really inspired us, we're excited about.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that.
What got you into NOLA music in the first place?
I went to college at Tulane.
Nice.
And, you know, just pretty much instantly fell in love with the whole music scene down there.
What have been some of your biggest challenges over the years?
Wow. I think, you know, just starting a business in general and dealing with, you know, all of the day-to-day, you know, aspects of managing a team and dealing with, you know, kind of the ups and downs of the business world.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's just, you know, a challenge that we enjoy, you know, dealing with, but it's always challenging to, you know, try and sort of visualize things and then make them happen, and we've been successful at it. And learned a lot along the way.
You guys have created so many different concepts over the years. How did Bonnaroo come together?
Bonnaroo, you know, basically our Jazz Fest events in New Orleans were getting very successful. And a lot of, you know, there's an audience that was traveling down just to see our shows on a pretty regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that we had this sort of real passionate audience that would travel to go see the kind of things we were presenting. And so we also sort of were looking at what was going on in the general music scene nationally. And
mm-hmm.
I personally was attending a lot of the smaller sort of jam band type events. There didn't seem to be anything that was really cohesively bringing that entire scene together in terms
mm-hmm.
of events. There were kind of events that had, you know, a little more modest initiatives in terms of, you know, the size and scope of them, but there was not really one large-scale, big camping, jam band-style event. So that was the initial impetus from it, was to sort of create a great large-scale festival. You know, we really started to look at what were the key bands in that world that would need to be there to make it sort of a national-style event. You know, we got the site, we raised the money, and kind of, you know, all put it together from there.
Has your booking strategy for Rue changed over the years?
Yes and no. In some degree, you know, of course, we've really broadened the kind of things that we offer there, but it's really from the same concept, which is, you know, we've always wanted to work with bands that and artists that had a really direct connection with their audience, and we also always felt like they need to be great live performers. It needed to be, you know, not some kind of manufactured talent, but something that was really authentic. And I think we've been able to stay pretty true to that ethos.
Coming from the NOLA scene, it's like, you know what you want out of a good live show, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's neat that you guys do try to get so many diverse acts, but they all have a certain standard of quality, you know? And, like, that seems to be the thing that, like, brings it, like, all together, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm. Beyond the Roots, you also do Outside Lands. Did you change your, like, approach with that fest? How'd you take a different spin on it with that?
I think, actually, it's interesting. There is a different aspect of New Orleans that kind of inspired us, you know, which is really the food aspect of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Okay.
You know, Outside Lands, you know, being a city festival, we realized that, you know, we had an opportunity to really leverage all of the amazing things that the Bay Area has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And two of those things, most, you know, that are really profound here, is that there's an amazing food scene and that you're, you know, right at the back door of wine country,
mm-hmm.
The whole Sonoma and Napa, you know, wine growing area of California.
Mm-hmm.
We serve over 100 different wines.
Nice.
You know, we have 75 local food vendors.
Uh-huh.
Really took an approach to the food, you know, in a similar way to the Jazz Fest in New Orleans does, mm-hmm. really trying to make it representative of everything that the city here naturally has to offer.
Who would you like to book for some fest that you've never been able to get? Are there any people like out there that you would want to get that you haven't yet?
That's a good question. There's not a lot. I mean, at this point, we've definitely gotten a lot of mm-hmm. the artists that we, you know, have sort of our heroes that we've dreamed of having form for us. Definitely, I would say a good majority of them. But there are certainly others drawing a little bit of a blank right now. You know, there's always sort of those things that those bands that aren't really, you know, actually performing that don't exist that, you know, people ask us all the time about the Pink Floyds and the Led Zeppelins, but those aren't really realistic because they're not really bands. Never the Rolling Stones. Something that would be pretty exciting. We've never had U2, someone that would be pretty amazing to have. We've never had Tom Waits at a festival. We have done some shows with Tom Waits.
That'd be awesome.
Big Apple to the Big Easy benefit that we did, you know, that he was part of. Mm-hmm. We really, you know, had him as part of our one of our festivals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are a few things there.
What have been some of your favorite sets over the years?
That's an easier question. There's probably 10 or so top things that I would say really, you know, I think were pivotal, monumental, and for me personally, you know, kind of transformative, you know, sets that we've had at Bonnaroo in particular. Say Radiohead in 06 is one of them. Neil Young in 03 is another. The My Morning Jacket set in 04 is a big one. The White Stripes in 07. Mm-hmm. The Tool set was pretty incredible. Jay-Z last year. A few good ones there.
Mm-hmm. You guys have had so many party sets from like such a diverse range of folks over the years, you know. That's got to be something else to like, you know, at Bonnaroo Turn, you know, I mean, 10 years. I mean, that's like a major milestone, you know. And how'd you come up with the idea of booking the Meters and Dr. John together?
That's where the name of, you know, the festival came from. Mm-hmm. So being our 10th anniversary, we thought that would be a pretty amazing way to, you know, celebrate it by having them recreate the album that inspired the name. So mm-hmm. everybody was into it.
You guys have the ability to, like, think of these things that are, like, out of the box like that and then be able to pull them off.
Absolutely. We definitely feel lucky to be able to do that. And, you know, probably one of the more enjoyable things about what we do is, you know, getting to actually affect music that's happening. You know, it's one thing to sort of call up a band and ask them to play, you know, play on stage in a venue or a festival or something. I mean, there's definitely a thrill to that. But I think it goes a little bit deeper when you're able to actually sit down with musicians and, you know, kind of make suggestions on, you know, what musically they're actually doing and have them almost look at you as sort of a, you know, a bit of a producer or somebody that's helping them shape, you know, what their performances are. And we've been lucky to have some opportunities to do stuff like that.
What have been some of the other times you've done that?
Well, as you probably know, we have this series of events called the Super Jam, mm-hmm. which, you know, we do every year now at Bonnaroo. We used to do around clubs in New Orleans on a, you know, regular basis. That's something that really, you know, is sort of the prime example of it.
It's definitely got to be fun to be able to bring different artists together, you know, to make something interesting, you know. You're making stuff that is not going to happen again.
Yeah, that's... It's exciting to be able to be involved.
So you're based out of Frisco now. Do you miss the scene in NOLA?
Oh, yeah, I miss everything about New Orleans. Uh-huh. Not everything. I just miss. I really do miss being there. I was there for Jazz Fest, and you know, it's home for me in many, many ways. And you know, I definitely you know, hope to be in a situation to be able to spend a lot more time there in the future.
That's got to be something else to go from bartending at Snakes to, like, you know, Bonnaroo's 10th anniversary, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty cool ride. I feel very fortunate to, you know, accomplish what, you know, we have, and, you know, look forward to keeping it coming.